Our next speaker is Gary Galo, who also needs practically no introduction, but I'm giving him one anyway. He's been an ARSC member since 1982, a reviewer for the ARSC Journal since 1989, was the sound recording review editor of the ARSC Journal from 1995 to 2012, and co-chair of the ARSC Technical Committee from 1996 to 2004. He's been a frequent presenter at ARSC conferences and has authored several articles for the ARSC Journal. Gary is the author of over 280 articles and reviews on both technical and musical subjects. He's a regular contributor to Audio Express magazine, periodically reviews books for Notes, Quarterly Journal of the Music Library Association, has written for Linear Audio, the newsletter of the Wilhelm Furtwängler Society of America, and is the author of the loudspeaker entry in the Encyclopedia of Recorded Sound in the United States. Next month, he will be fully retired after 38 years as audio engineer at the Crane School of Music at SUNY Potsdam after a 3.5-year halftime phase-out. Please welcome Gary Galo.
Second to get the computer going here. Are you manning the channel? If you don't have a copy of the handout, I apologize. When they put me on a classical music section, I bring 50 copies and I have 44 left over. I obviously underestimated the level of interest today. I'm on the SUNY Potsdam website. If you'd like a handout, email me and I'll be happy to send you one. So, are we ready to go? Very good. Well, the Crane School of Music at SUNY Potsdam had a long relationship with Nadia Boulanger, arguably the 20th century's most famous music teacher. Helen M. Hosmer was the director of the Crane Department of Music and its predecessor, the Crane Normal Institute, from 1929 until her retirement in 1966. And in 1931, she founded Crane Chorus, beginning a tradition of performing major choral works that continues to this day. In the summer of 1925, Hosmer traveled to France with a group of students to study with Boulanger. As a result of the friendship that developed between them, Boulanger guest conducted Crane Chorus 5 times between 1939 and 1962. Back in 2007, at the ARSC conference in Milwaukee, I gave a paper on the benefit concert for the Polish Relief that Boulanger conducted in Carnegie Hall with Crane Chorus and members of the Philharmonic Symphony Orchestra of New York. That paper was published as an article in the ARSC Journal later that year. In that paper, I mentioned the large quantity of repertoire in the Crane recording archives that cannot be found on any other Boulanger recordings, much of it consisting of music by 20th century composers. 3 works unique to the Boulanger discography were performed at the Carnegie Hall concert in 1941. Today, I'd like to survey the concerts Boulanger conducted in Potsdam, highlighting additional repertoire unique to her discography. Now, your handout has the playlist for this presentation, along with a complete list of the repertoire in Boulanger's concerts with Crane Chorus, and there are also English texts for all the works I'm going to play. In 1939, Boulanger made her first appearance in Potsdam, conducting Brahms' German Requiem, in English, I might add. Boulanger recorded more music by Brahms than by any other composer. This may come as a surprise, but Monteverdi is actually in second place. But there's no trace of any music from Brahms' Requiem conducted by her, which makes the 1939 Crane recording an especially valuable document. Now, in listening to all of these performances, you should bear in mind that the forces involved consist primarily of undergraduate college music education students and not professional performers. In addition, all of the recordings are well below the state of the art for their respective periods. The Brahms was recorded on 16-inch lacquer discs, and the remaining recordings were made on tape. The choir in the Brahms is a very young-sounding group, but Boulanger approaches the score with more weight than we might expect from a French conductor performing German music. So here is the fugal section that concludes movement 6 of the Brahms Requiem, recorded in 1939, track 1.
Thank you.
The next time that Boulanger conducted Crane Chorus was in 1941 in Carnegie Hall for the Polish Relief Benefit Concert that I already mentioned. She returned to Potsdam in 1945, but no recording exists of that concert. This is rather unfortunate since the program included six works not found in her discography, including Mozart's G minor symphony. Her third visit to Potsdam was for the Spring Festival of the Arts in 1958. Now, she's seen here during a rehearsal for that concert with Helen Hosmer and Crane Symphony Orchestra conductor Maurice Barreto, who was one of my old conducting teachers. She began the work, or began the concert, with a work by the Polish composer Michał Spisak. Spisak was born in 1914, and in 1937 he moved to Paris for advanced studies with Boulanger. In 1955, the Prince of Monaco organized a competition to create a new anthem for the Olympics. 392 scores were submitted from some 40 countries, and Spisak's Hymn Olympique emerged the winner. It was performed at the opening ceremonies for both the Winter Olympics in Cortina d'Ampezzo and the Summer Olympics in Melbourne in 1956. Boulanger opened her 1958 Potsdam concert with the work. So here is Spisak's Hymn Olympique from the 1958 Spring Festival. That's it. Boulanger's sister Lily remains one of the great what-ifs in 20th century music. She was an extraordinarily gifted composer who was only 24 years old when she died in 1918. When Nadia Boulanger conducted the 1958 Spring Festival concert, she included three works by her sister, two psalm settings, and Vielle Prière Bouddhique, or Ancient Buddhist Prayer. This piece is noteworthy for not only for the strikingly beautiful musical material, but also for her command of orchestration. So here is the conclusion of Lily Boulanger's Vielle Prière Bouddhique, conducted by Nadia Boulanger at the 1958 Spring Festival. Yeah. Now, one additional comment about that work and that recording. Literally days before my wife and I departed for this conference, I managed to track down a copy of a discography by Boulanger by Elizabeth Giuliani. It was published as part of a book published in France on Lily and Nadia Boulanger. And I found that in 1958, this same year, there was Nadia Boulanger conducted a performance of this work at Harvard University, and it actually was issued on a Technicord LP. I've never actually seen it. So this work isn't exactly unique to her complete discography. However, it is unique as far as her commercial discography is concerned, because there are no works in her commercial discography of her conducting music by her sister. Boulanger returned to Potsdam for the last time in 1962 with a program consisting entirely of works not otherwise found among her commercial recordings or her live recordings, for that matter. Boulanger opened with Cantate by Igor Markevich. The Russian-born Markevich began studies with Boulanger and Alfred Cortot in 1926, and he and Boulanger became close friends. He began a career as a composer, but he felt that he was not in the same league as a number of his contemporaries, especially Stravinsky, so in the mid-1940s, he abandoned composition to pursue a career as a conductor. As such, he became one of the foremost exponents of 20th century music. Cantate is the work of a 17-year-old, and much of it shows the influence of Stravinsky both in its harmonic language and orchestration. The final chorale, I think, is especially effective. So here is Boulanger conducting Movement 4 from Cantate by Igor Markevich from the 1962 Spring Festival. Hungarian Laszlo Lajda was a composer, ethnomusicologist, and teacher. He studied in Paris, but not with Boulanger, with Vincent Dandy. Lajda was 70 years old in 1962, and the motets performed on these concerts had just been published. He died just a year later. The motets use only women's chorus, and the poems were written during the medieval era. We'll hear the conclusion of the first of the two motets by Lajda, Sequence for the Virgin Mary. It's difficult to find any information on the composer of the next work, Leo Praeger. There's no entry for him in the online or printed editions of Grove. He got barely three sentences in the old single-volume editions of Baker's and none in the most recent six-volume edition. Praeger was born on the island of Corsica and studied counterpoint with Boulanger in 1930 and 1931. According to biographer Leonie Rosenstiel, Boulanger considered him one of her most talented students, putting him in a league with Aaron Koblen, Igor Markevich, and Walter Piston, among others. Crane commissioned the three-movement cantate, another work on the same concert with the same title, on her recommendation, so the 1962 performance was a world premiere. Praeger freely adapted Old Testament texts for the works, using lines from several psalms and for the second movement, the Song of Solomon. So here is movement three of Praeger's cantate.
Thank you.
Poulenc was not a student of Boulanger, of course, but they were good friends. His Gloria was also new music back in 1962. It had been commissioned by the Serge Koussevitzky Foundation and premiered just the year before by the Boston Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Charles Munch. So to conclude the program today, here is the fourth movement from Poulenc's Gloria, the last work Boulanger conducted at Crane. Thank you very much for coming. We have time for some questions. Yes. The text is by Jean Cocteau, all four movements. Yes.
My question is similar to the last person. Are these available on CDs?
No, they're not available anywhere. They exist only in our archive.
In the archive.
I would like to see this material issued. I think there has to be enough interest in Boulanger out there that there's some kind of at least limited market for these performances, because most of them otherwise do not exist with her. We also have, between the Polish Relief Concert in 1941 and the 1958 Spring Festival, we have two performances of the Fauré Requiem with her. Now, you may say, well, since we already have three, who needs two more of them? But in my paper on the Polish Relief Concert, I gave a diagram of her timings for the five known performances of the Fauré with her. And it's interesting, both comparing the timings and actually listening to the performances, how her conception of the work changed over the years. Her tempi broadened, the piece became more weighty. So I think two more forays actually sends or sheds additional light on her conception of the piece rather than just being mere duplication. I also know the person who can restore these performances much better than me, should there be an interest in such a thing. But no, they're not available. Crane did make custom LP records for the performers of the 1958 and 1962 concerts. The LPs sound awful. Any other questions? Yes?
In the case of the LP, though, you still have the master
tapes. Yes, I have the tapes. I have the tapes to both of those concerts, 58 and 62. And the interesting thing, the 62 performance, the tapes are two-track stereo, but there are 7.5 IPS, and they're hissy, and there was I'm convinced the machine, the recorders that they were made on were not aligned properly, because they're very bright in the treble. There's absolutely no low end on them. I did some equalization to them, so they clearly need some work. But yes, we have the original tapes. How the 62 LPs are mono, and they have absolutely no top end on them at all. And I'm not sure how that came about from these tapes, but it did. But the LP records are terrible. But the tapes with some work are serviceable, and they can be made to sound quite decent. Any other questions before we go? Thank you again very much.
Thank you to all of our presenters.